Hello and welcome to Ed Talks, a podcast from King Edward School Birmingham and King Edward's High School for Girls, where I talk to old Eds about their time at school and what they did next. My name is Ben Anderson. I left school in 2006. And before we get into today's conversation, I just wanted to say a quick thank you, because the feedback we've had on this series so far has been fantastic, and it's been great to hear from so many of you. If you'd like to feature as a guest on this podcast, then I'll let you know how to get in touch at the end. Today, I am absolutely delighted to be joined. I'm not quite sure how to introduce this lady. It's Hannah, but Miss Proops. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I thought you were going to say something like my old teacher, which I don't like. I don't like that term, old.
Well, yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
We have. When I first came back as a, I wasn't even a proper teacher when I started, came back here to help Jenny Herbert, my old drama teacher, out. And yeah, you were in school. I came back for South Pacific. That's the first show I just assisted on. Yeah. Were you in that? Were you in the company?
I think so. And also, we were your first GCSE drama group, I believe, when you came back.
I can't remember that.
You might have blanked it from your memory, because I'm ashamed to say that we might have given you a bit of a hard time because you were new.
Oh, really? No.
But before we talk about your career now, you know, you're in a unique position. There's not many people who've done what you've done, where you've seen the kind of the school from inside and outside the staff room.
Yeah.
But let's go back to when you were at school then. Was it the late 90s, early noughties you were at school?
So, Nat was very kind of you. No, I started in 1990 and I left in 97. So yeah,
right.
Pretty much the 90s. And I think it was a big surprise to my parents that I got in. I'd already been moved out of my state primary school because for fears, I just wasn't bright and needed some special attention in another school. And then, yeah, shocker to get into KE, but really excited to come. Loved it here. Yeah, found it academically quite difficult. But I think, and I say this to students now, you really only have to be really good or really love or feel really passionately about one subject, and that's one subject will make school brilliant and exciting. And for me, weirdly, when I was young, it was art. It was the art block and it was painting and drawing. And then as I got older, stage crew, and then I discovered theatre really, really late on. I was in lower sixth when I got a part in, I was Ado Annie in Oklahoma, and then it was like, oh gosh, what is this? This is what I need to do for the rest of my life. But yeah, really happy memories of KEHS.
And what was Birmingham like in the 90s?
Really drab.
Very different to
now.
Yeah,
and my memory of it was just being very grey. I really remember the old bull ring and, you know, what you would do on a Saturday as a kid, you know, when you couldn't go and have, like, you know, real fun, go to clubs and everything like that. You'd go into town, you'd go shopping, you'd go to the rag market, which was very smelly and old, but really exciting. You'd buy some, you know, secondhand leather jacket or something. You'd have a McDonald's. I just remember everything being really, really grey. And whilst I had a, you know, really happy kind of childhood, I remember thinking all the time, I can't wait to leave Birmingham. For me, it was always about London. And so coming back, I sort of moved back to Birmingham in sort of 2004, London kind of having, I felt at the time like I'd failed in London, and really came back with my tail between my legs. Oh, Mum and Dad, can I come and stay back? I need to rethink everything. And then came back to Birmingham, and in 2004, it was a ridiculously exciting place. It already looked different and colourful and alive. And then it's just got better and better and better. And I properly love Birmingham now. I would never move. I think it's the most brilliant city with the most brilliant opportunities. I'd been in London, you know, as an artist, knocking on the doors, you know, come on, give me a chance. And it was just impossible. It was impossible. And it was really difficult. Came back to Birmingham. And within 2 or 3 weeks of living here, I had some work experience at Maverick Television Studios. I was making a fashion design collection. I was hanging around the custard factory. Someone just gave me an artist studio. And everyone in Birmingham was like, yeah, come and get involved. Yeah, I can help you out. Let's do this. Let's collaborate. And I just, yeah, totally, I really fell in love with Birmingham at that point.
So how long after you got back from London then did you start working with Jenny Herbert in the drama department?
So I'd been doing puppetry in London, a bit random, and it was really good fun, but I realised it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So came back to Birmingham and I weirdly started to set up, I set up a fashion design business. I'd been doing lots of styling for bands. My boyfriend then, now husband, you know, was in a band and had lots of mates who were musicians, and I would make their stage wear for fun, just because it was something I liked to do. And I, you know, done costume design at drama school. And then started to set up a fashion label, and I was really enjoying doing that, but I had no money. I was living at home. My mum and dad had let me kind of take over the conservatory with my sewing machine and everything. And I got a call from Jenny Herbert, and she said, oh gosh, Hannah, I've really messed up. I think it was something like, you know, November. We've got South Pacific. We're doing that as our senior production, big musical. I have no set. I don't know what we're going to do. Can you please come and help out? Do you fancy coming in on a Friday afternoon and doing stage crew? Now, my memories of stage crew were so happy. That stage crew was the place where I had gone, finally the penny had dropped. And I thought, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So the idea that I could come back and be that person for somebody else, you know, help them see that there was, you know, there were other careers out there apart from medicine and law and business. I wanted to be that person. And I'm not going to pretend that, you know, as a freelance artist, a little bit of permanent, you know, cash every week was also, you know, one of the motivations. So I came back and did that. I helped out with stage crew. And then I got slowly sucked back into school, but willingly.
I mean, was it difficult for you? Because you were still quite young at that point. Was it difficult for you coming back to Birmingham, joining the staff essentially at King Edward's? But was it difficult for you knowing that, you know, still being young, that now you're a part of the staff, you couldn't go to snobs anymore?
Yeah, exactly. And it was, I used to quite enjoy it, and it's very sad that it just doesn't happen anymore now. But, you know, I used to get confused for being a sixth former all the time and kind of be told off by teachers who hadn't, you know, known me at school for being in the staff room, or why on earth was I, you know, wearing those painting overalls? I needed to dress more smartly, and I got a kick out of that. But yeah, calling your teachers by their first names is something that will always be really difficult to do. And yeah, being allowed in the staff room. And for the first few years of being here, honestly, I just followed Jenny Herbert around like a little lost puppy. I would never go to the staff room on my own. I'd always wait for her for break time and go down with her and sit with her. And yeah, it took a long time before I felt that I'd earned my place here on the staff.
Coming back in then, and because obviously Jenny Herbert was a when I was at school, I loved drama.
Living legend.
She is. I went on to study theatre because, you know, she helped me, because it's quite an academic environment. Of course it is. Jenny kind of opened up the door for me that, you know, creativity was important, and that, yeah, if I wanted to go and study theatre at Warwick, which is what I really wanted to do, that I should just pursue it and go for it, because that was at the point when we couldn't even do drama or theatre studies for an A-level. It was only a GCSE choice back then. I mean, coming in now, obviously Jenny retired, what, about 5 or 6 years ago now, and you are the director of drama for KEHS. Yeah. Did you kind of just fit straight into that role? Or was it, because it's a big job, you know, director of anything, suddenly sounds very serious.
If I'm being really honest, I had coveted the role for a number of years before it finally became mine. Jenny had done amazing things with drama. When Jenny turned up at King Edward's and KHS, you know, drama barely existed. And Jenny's legacy was building the senior production and the junior productions into the things they are today. And, you know, we've upheld that tradition. They are big, they are wonderful, they are very close to being the standard of professional productions. And we've kind of continued that on. And that's really important. So I wanted to uphold that, but I wanted to bring my own interests and skills into it. And when I became, director of drama at the girls' school, the thing that I was really passionate about that I wanted to change was to bring in, the girls' school at that time had no GCSE drama, but randomly they had A-level. So my first thing was to do was to say, right, we need GCSE drama, and I want drama taught in every single year group. And that was my campaign for a number of years. And it did happen, and it was brilliant. And, you know, I'm really proud of that. Drama is considered a proper subject, an academic subject. It will help these fiercely intelligent young women communicate. And that is the most important skill you can have, to express yourself. Now, fine, you can be brilliant, you can have a brilliant mind, you can write the perfect essay, but if you cannot walk into an interview or get on stage and, or, you know, stand up at the front of a conference and deliver your ideas, enthuse people, inspire them, make them listen to you, then, you know, what good are your, is your brilliant mind? No one will ever know, you know, what you're about. So I think drama is something that is an essential subject.
Is that how it's now seen at school? Because, you know, when I was there, it was extracurricular in the main. It really was. And if you're interested in it, then you had to put in your own time to pursuing it. Is every year group now doing it?
Yes, every year group does drama, a timetabled lesson. We have then, our numbers are huge. We have, across the 2 year groups for, you know, key stage four, we have over 70 students studying GCSE drama. That's insane.
Brilliant.
We have over 20 students studying A-level theatre studies. Now, we're a small school. That's massive. So, yeah, I think it is considered. Of course, there's still people who think, I want to be a doctor. What's drama got to do with me? And, you know, but I think we can still encourage them that actually, to be a brilliant doctor, you've got to have the most incredible bedside manner. You tell me how you're going to negotiate a difficult situation when you've got an angry, drunk patient in A&E and you've got to get them to sit on that bed and stay in that cubicle. You need, you know, negotiation skills. You need people skills. You need drama.
Get that on the poster.
We can make these into.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, it's funny you say that, because on this podcast I interviewed Seb Heaven.
Oh, Sebastian Heaven. Is that not the most beautiful name in the whole world?
Yes, Sebastian, it is. I suppose, you know, Dr. Heaven has a bit of a, you know, might make a few people Dr. nervous when he's there walking into the room. But Seb, you know, he's went and studied medicine at Cardiff, and then he went and completed his training over in Canada. But he was talking on this podcast exactly that, saying that, yeah, okay, he's a doctor and his skills are all medical, but he draws on the extracurricular stuff he did. So being in the choir or playing rugby, or of course being in the school productions all the time, like in terms of just talking to people, conversations with people, just being able to relate to your patient in whatever way you can find to relate to them, is really helpful to him. So yeah, it's interesting you say that, because it's obviously, it is working in real life scenarios. It's being drawn.
He's my example. He's my poster boy for it, yeah. Then.
So, weird question. Who's the last person that you spoke to on the phone, Hannah? You were talking earlier about how you led the campaign to get drama.
Oh, that's funny, you should say that. Yes,
there's another campaign in the offing.
Many, many celebrity friends now, Ben. Yes, the last person, I mean, actually, we've been WhatsApping for the last couple of days. It's a comedian, Greg Davis.
Oh, fantastic.
But, you know, ranking to Mr. Hudson.
Yeah.
Darcy Bussell.
Wonderful.
You know, I mix with the great and the good nowadays. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But you are mixing with them for a very good reason, because I'd like to talk to you about Tune Up. Now, Tune Up, just to quickly run through the numbers, over 200 schools are now involved with this.
Yeah,
which is over,
and that equates to
70,000 students. So, is that right?
That's right, 70,000. Isn't that insane? This is an idea that we were noodling around with. I was having a meeting with our new head, and we were talking about the arts, and I was in a grumpy mood. And I made a comment about the fact that I was just really frustrated that there was this real disconnect between the amount of art we consumed, we binged on during lockdown, and the lack of outrage that people were, you know, expressing or not expressing, you know, for the state that the arts were in at the moment. So many of my friends who I trained with at drama school, who are working, you know, in the West End, who have their own theatre companies, you know, who were in TV, script writers, you know, are having a really, really terrible time. And I was surprised that people weren't more upset about it. And I sort of made throwaway comment about, God, you know what, wouldn't it be amazing if, I bet you people couldn't survive one evening without Netflix, without Spotify, without reading a book, you know, what if you weren't even allowed to create art? What would you do? What would you do for one evening? Once you've done your homework, obviously, what would you do? And I said, yeah, just, you know, wouldn't it be brilliant if we had sort of like a blackout of the art? And Kirsty said, oh, yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. We should do that within school. And I was like, yeah, yeah, let's do it within school. And, you know, the idea at the beginning was about, it was going to be called Tune Out Tuesday. And it was going to be about, you know, OK, no art, no drama, no music. If you don't think it's important, if we're going to just let this industry collapse, what would life be like without it in the future? We then became clear that that was really sort of punishing people because actually art and music and drama and, you know, it is what makes us happy. So how about we turn it into a celebration? And the GSA, the Girls' School Association, came on board. And yeah, this idea then has sort of exploded out of control. So then it was the Girls' School Association, then the Headmasters and Mistresses sort of conference, they came on board. So then it was like, okay, let's get all independent schools involved. And then we thought, no, you know who we really need to engage with this? It's all schools. We need to get this message out. And it's gone out of control. It's massive now, absolutely massive.
So when you were saying you're a bit grumpy when you came up with the impetus for this idea, was it because Hannah didn't want her next job to be in cyber? Was it around that time, by any chance?
Maybe.
Because it is something, you know, I'm exactly the same.
Well, you know, there's our logo is our logo. Our slogan is upskill, uplift, upcoming.
Love it.
And it has, you know, you'll see that it sounds a little similar to other three-line slogans that are out there.
So the idea was yours.
Mine and Kirsty's. It was definitely two great minds together.
Wonderful. But it's now, so it's 70,000 students and growing. Is it still something that people can get involved with?
Oh my goodness. We have sort of 20 schools a day keep joining up. We've got some massive names attached to this now, but we've also got, you know, we've got household names, but we've also got people that you won't have heard of, but you will have, you know, seen their work. We've got costume designers. We've got the amazing Gabriella Slade. She's the costume designer from Six, the musical, those iconic outfits. She designed the costumes for the Spice World tour.
Wow.
Insane. We've got playwright James Graham. We have actors. We have producers, we have company managers, we have stage managers, we have lighting designers, we have Richard Jones, the lighting designer from Strictly. And then we have obviously the big names. We have Darcy Bustle, Greg Davis, we have Rankin, we have Mr. Hudson, Amy Atkinson. We've got some really, really big names attached. And yeah, we're tweeting about them and hopefully people can come on board and join in on the day itself.
I think it's really important that you say that, because I think when the kind of general population think about the arts, you can't help but think about the performer, the person who's on stage that you see. I think it's important to say that, you know, the arts isn't just the performers. The arts is, like you say, the directors, the producers, the stagehands. There's so many people that are involved in making a production. And in fact, the cast is usually the smallest part of that. There's so many people
behind
the
scenes. They're the last people to get involved. They're the last people to the table.
Exactly.
The other thing to remember as well, you know, if you're brilliant at maths, if you are brilliant at maths and, you know, that's your skill set, and so you want to do a job that involves those skills. You know, you can be an accountant for a theatre. You can be a producer. A producer is about raising funds. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be associated, you know, with a theatre or with a TV production company or with a film. You know, I think that's the thing that we're trying to change as well, that going into the arts, a lot of people go, oh, no, I wouldn't study drama at A-level because I don't want to be an actor. It's far too risky. And you think, gosh, you have no idea all the incredible jobs out there. And that's what our upcoming section on the TuneUp website is all about. Come and listen to what these jobs are about. We've basically asked the same five questions to everybody. Mm-hmm. Who are you and what do you do? What skills do you need for that job? How did you get there? You know, university, was it an apprenticeship scheme? Was it work experience? And what advice would you give your 15-year-old self? And that should really help you oh, I'm good at that. I was, for example, we found out that, you know, a lighting designer needs to be really good at maths and physics because you need to work out the angle of light. You need to have a real head for numbers as a producer. You need to be obviously, you know, really crafty and good with your hands as a costume designer, but you don't just have to be a costume designer. There's a costume constructor talking about the work that she does. There's a costume supervisor talking about that job. And they're different strands of the sort of, you know, all under the same umbrella. But yeah, so many different things you can do.
Yeah, and the level of detail that these guys go into as well. I mean, I've got a particularly nerdy friend from Warwick University who's outraged on Twitter at the moment because obviously the new series of The Crown is out and they keep using, yes, apparently American telephones rather than telephones that you would be able to find in the UK at that time. There's bloody American telephones again. But I suppose, you know, that's
what it
is.
Because you've got to do your research. You've got to do your research. You've got to get it right. Your job is to present the world that these characters would live in. And if you're doing a naturalistic piece, then boy, you've got to get it right. Otherwise, people will notice.
Absolutely, and get outraged on Twitter. So
there'll be some telephone enthusiast who is absolutely furious right now.
So Tune-Up Tuesday. So what's actually going to happen on the day? Like, what's the? How's it all going to work?
So we start with a big assembly that will be streamed to all our participating schools, and it's about half an hour long, and we explain what's going to be happening on the day. We give some examples. We've been piloting some of the workshops just to check that they work. Are they going to work? We understand that there's lots of students who are isolating at home. Are these workshops going to work if you just log in individually into the website and you're sitting at home? And we've got some brilliant dance routines that you can just do sitting at a desk, sitting at your computer screen, get you up and moving and having fun. Will they work if you're sort of in a classroom having to socially distance from everybody else in your class? So it's that. We're going to show you some of the piloted workshops. We're going to give you a flavour of the day itself and sort of summarise why the arts are so important. We've got some really special guest speakers. The one of whom is just so exciting, I think, is our biggest name. But weirdly, his name is not as recognisable as his work. Alex Lacamoire. Now, Alex Lacamoire is the musical director, the composer, the orchestrator behind Hamilton, Dear Evan Hansen, and The Greatest Showman.
Wow.
And this guy's a legend. I know. Hannah, how did you manage to secure Alex Lacamoire? And he gives this most brilliant speech about the kid he was at school and that music saved him. It made him friends. It made him feel like he belonged, and it gave him a real purpose. And, he knew as soon as he discovered that, he knew that that's what he wanted to do. And look at the career he's had. I mean, it's just won. There's not an award he hasn't won, you know, numerous Grammys, Olivier's, Emmys. The man's amazing. So anyway, sorry, that's the assembly. And then it's up to the schools what they want to do. And there really is no, you can use the website as much or as little as you'd like. The one page that is only going to be up for Tuesday the 24th is our uplift page. And that is all about giving you the opportunity to come together as a community to experience a piece of theatre. We've got some brilliant some partners there. We've got Vamos, UK's leading full mask company, giving us an exclusive Finding Joy, brilliant show, and no dialogue. And you'll be amazed at how easy it is to follow the story with just the beautiful, skillful movements. We've got JCS Online, who are giving us the National Theatres Collection. So you can see, you know, their Peter Pan, their Small Island, their Medea, there, you know, there's something there for every single age group. We've got the Globe offering stuff, Cirque du Soleil offering things. We've got Frantic Assemblies, Things I Know to Be True, courtesy of Digital Theatre Plus. There are some amazing things. So that's the idea. At some point, maybe get together as a school community, socially, you know, distanced, safely, but and watch a piece of theatre and understand how that makes you feel. Then we have two other sections, the upcoming section, which is amazing careers advice. So that might be something you listen to as a class, or maybe you dip into it as a student just on your own at your lunchtime after school. And it explore, you know, the things that you're interested in and have a listen to. And then we've got our upskill section, and that is about engaging everyone in a practical activity. We want every school to pledge that their students will spend at least 5 minutes taking part in our activity. So maybe a little bit of choreography from a West End dancer. We've got a beautiful, an amazing warm-up from a Birmingham Royal Ballet soloist. We've got costume design workshops and lighting design workshops and script writing things. So have a go at stuff. So that's the idea, a bit of practical stuff, a bit of coming together as a community and seeing some live theatre, and then some really amazing careers advice.
Fab, name dropping all over the place.
Check me out.
So this is on Tuesday.
So, you know, from the moment we started this project, it's been getting out of hand and it's been changing on a day-to-day basis. And I think we realised at some point last week that it would be such a shame that this stopped after the 24th, that what we've done, I think, is, I'm going to be bold and say, it's unprecedented. Certainly our careers page is unbelievable. I don't know of another free resource for students that gives you that kind of access. I know the National Theatre does some brilliant things online, you know, and looking at different roles within their organisation, but I don't think there's a careers website that has the breadth that we do. So although Uplift is only going to be on the 24th itself, after that, we're now looking at ways, tune upwards and onwards. Do you like that?
We're coming up with logos all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we move forwards? We'd really like this to be something that we work on permanently. You know, let's engage young people. Let's get young people telling us what they want within the arts. How do we engage people? What do you want to do? Do you want to see more live theatre? Okay, well, let's find funding so that schools who couldn't normally afford a coach and tickets, let's get them to the West End. Let's get them a backstage tour. Let's get them meeting the actors. Let's get them having a meeting with a stage manager. You never know. We only need to spark, you know, one kid's imagination. They think, I could do that. Well, that's the job I want to do. That, and then we've, you know, we're winning.
It's so good, Hannah, and I can't believe how, because I mentioned this idea a good few weeks back, and it has just spiraled out of control, and it's testament to how good the idea is. But it's so nice that so many people are willing to give their time to it. That's wonderful.
Absolutely, I think that's the thing, we have been overwhelmed by the generosity, overwhelmed by people's generosity. You know, to start off with, I was just phoning up my mates, you know, the people I trained with at drama school, like, come on, can you just, will you owe me a phone? And then I was calling on, you know, ex-students. Do you remember me? It's Miss Proops. Yeah, hi. You can call me Hannah now. Now, I need you to do me a favour. Do you remember when I gave you that part in the, you owe me? Right. Now, I want you to do, but what's happened since then, if people have just been like, this is amazing. This is a great idea. I've got a friend. Shall I ask this friend? And then that friend is asking two people, and then that, and it's just gone mad. We've got people who are now contacting us saying, please, could we donate, you know, our experience and our skills? We've created a 5-minute workshop. Please, will you upload it? They're asking us that. And we're like, yes, of course. Thank you. Yeah. So it's the generosity. And, you know, at a time when, you know, these artists, they need to be worrying about how to pay their bills, not sitting down and, you know, creating something for us. But that's what this industry is all about. It's the most generous, wonderful, you know, it's a family, isn't it? You know, anyone who's ever worked on a production knows that they become your greatest mates for, you know, even that short period of time you work together. But people, you know, they stay in touch with one another. And yeah, it's been lovely. It's been really heartwarming.
Hi, I'm Salma.
And I'm Shweb.
We're student fundraisers talking to you about the Assisted Places Fund.
So, I suppose you're wondering, why should you donate to the Assisted Places Fund?
Essentially, we want to help give others the opportunities we were both fortunate enough to have and give them access to our wide-ranging curriculum and ambitious co-curricular programme.
Thank you for listening. And to give, visit the Old Edwardian website.
Now, Hannah, I'm looking at the clock because I know that we're not far off from the bell going, and you're very keen to get to the lunch hall before the masses do.
I'm not going to miss out on my hot dinner.
So I won't keep you for much longer. I want to ask you, I'm asking everybody this, and I think,
okay,
essentially, life's tough for everyone in every industry. every time I pick up my phone at the moment, it seems like I'm getting another alert about redundancies happening here or job losses over here. You know, being a student at the moment, not just in terms of looking at the arts, but any industry, the job market's never been tougher as a result of everything that's happened this year. And it can be hugely daunting, I think, to look at the world around you and think, well, how can I find my place in it when the world is in such a mess itself? I don't mean a qualification or a certificate. I mean, what characteristic would you say has served you best since leaving school? Just to give you a few examples, Natalie Haynes said resilience. Seb Heaven said self-reflection, being able to kind of take a look back without being too critical, but looking at your work and how you've done things and how you can improve it. What would you say is the characteristic that served you best?
I never thought I'd get into teaching. I accidentally fell into it. But the moment I started, I realised this is what I should have been doing from the very start. Why did I at school never think that this was a, you know, a viable career for me or something I'd enjoy? There is nothing I love more than talking about things I'm passionate about. I would say, I do feel things intensely. I think that's my creative nature. You know, I either love things or hate things. I'm never lukewarm. There's the most brilliant quote by Roald Dahl. And he talks about the fact that, you know, if find something you love and then, you know, pursue it. Never be lukewarm about anything. And I think it's that I feel, find something you feel passionately about and then go hard or go home. You know, if you love something, spend all your time doing it. Find a job that doesn't, oh, there's nothing that upsets me more when, you know, students talk about, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want to be rich. Really? Because it's not going to make you happy. Find something that floats your boat. Find something that turns you on. Find something that, you know, every day, I know this sounds so cheesy, but every day I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to go in and talk about theatre. And I've decided, so my skill, I think, is enthusiasm. I feel passionately about things and I can't help but want other people to feel the same. Sometimes that's a bit bad because it can be bitterly disappointing when they don't. And I find that hard sometimes. But yeah, passion and enthusiasm. And, you know, for me, really, yeah, Jenny Herbert, seeing Jenny Herbert work ridiculous hours and coming in on weekends for production weekends, but never being grumpy about it. It just being something she wanted to do. And I thought to myself, actually, there you go. Find a job that doesn't feel like work. Find a job that you would choose to do. And I can, you know, if my husband listens to this, he's going to roll his eyes because I have no work-life boundaries at all. The poor man, he's brilliant, you know, because sometimes he really is a single parent. I am. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with teaching and, you know, when I'm doing a show or working on this, it does become everything for a bit. But I think that's a good way to be. I don't know any other way to be. So yeah, find something you feel passionate about.
Well, Hannah, Miss Proops, your enthusiasm for Tune Up is incredible. And I passionately hope it's a huge success and I'm sure it will be. But thank you ever so much for your time today. It's been lovely to catch up.
Oh, lovely to see you again. Haven't you grown? Haven't you become a big lad, eh? I'm so proud of you.
Thank you for listening to Ed Talks. I hope that you've enjoyed today's conversation. If you have, it would be great if you could subscribe to this podcast on whatever app you're listening on so you can keep up to date with future episodes. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then we'd really appreciate it if you could leave your feedback in the review section. If you're listening on a platform where you can't leave your comments, then please do email me with your feedback. My email address is ben@soundrebel.co.uk. If you would like to feature on this podcast as a guest, then please email Adelaide Bailey at the Development Office. Her email address is aab@kes.beham.sch.uk. That's aab@kes.beham.sch.uk. She's also the person to email with any news that you think should be featuring in Old Ed's publications, either in print or online. Finally, if you think a podcast would enhance the communications of your business, organisation or charity, then I'd love to talk to you about producing it. My email address again is ben@soundrebel.co.uk. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join me again.